Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out on Facebook, and you can join me out in our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. You'll find the link in the email message that I sent out earlier today. And you can also access the audio recordings for these calls out on our membership page. And again, check your email for the link out to the archives where you can get access to all those recordings and listen in. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. We talk about specific technology tools, and there are 12 modules of content that we cover in this program. Today, we're going to be talking about webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts. So let's go ahead and dive right in. First of all, let's just talk about the value of doing event marketing. So in today's age, you're going to increase your visibility online, and you're going to accomplish more if you position yourself as an expert. People look at people who are in a business in two ways. One is they see you as a sales professional, or two, they see you as an expert in your particular field. If you fall into the category of sales professional, then people are naturally more resistant to you. If you can position yourself as an expert, then it makes it a lot easier to be able to attract people online. And the techniques that I'm going to share with you today on doing webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts are tied in with positioning yourself as an expert. It's really where you're focused on educating people on a specific topic. My mentor, Eric Lofholm, says, educate first and then sell. Educate first and then sell. And that's a strategy that I've implemented in my own business. And I've done thousands of webinars and teleseminars over the years. I've done a few Google Hangouts as well. And I found a lot of value in it. It's been a great way to attract people online. It's also been a great way to generate sales. For most of my free presentations that I do offer or make an offer at the end of the presentation offering something for sale. And I've generated tens of thousands of dollars in sales over the years just by doing events. And so I encourage you to do events as well. And, you know, one of the things that's great about doing an event is you could do an event for a half an hour or an hour, even 90 minutes, and be able to generate. I've also done some longer free events as well. I've done like 3-hour events, and I'll probably be planning a few of those this year as well. I'm working right now with Eric Lofholm, helping him to implement a strategy where he's hosting a series of free events that are three free webinars and links, so three events for free. And people can go out and register online. That's the piece where I'm helping is with the registration process for that. And, you know, that's a common component when you do event marketing. You want to have a place where people can go and register to participate in your events. Yeah, I want to pop out into our Facebook group real quick and welcome members of the program in the group. If you haven't joined us out on the Facebook group, I encourage you to do that now. And we already have a number of people posting out there. Tom Holtis is out there. Roy Rasmussen is there. Ellen Murphy is there. And let me put a post in here. Let's set a comment goal for today's webinar of 30 comments. I just posted a message in there out in the group. And just checking in here, too, it looks like we've got a couple other folks listening in. Judy Flannery is here, and also Teresa Rippey is here as well. So I'm going to put a welcome message out in the Facebook group to welcome those members as well. And so I encourage you to join us out in the Facebook group. Look for the pinned post at the top of the page, and then go ahead and post a message there. And then share your takeaways as we go through the event today. And I'm looking out there, I see Alan put out there, events as short as 30 minutes can yield great results. Absolutely. In fact, when I worked with Laurel Langmire as her affiliate manager, Laurel would only do 30-minute events. If she was, if somebody was interviewing her or bringing her onto a call or a webinar, she would only do 30 minutes. She was extremely busy, and you know, an hour was just not within her window of opportunity. So she would come on and be on a presentation for only 30 minutes. She had a lot of things to do. And so, you can get results with a 30-minute presentation. You just have to tighten up your presentation a little bit, make sure that you're adding value, and then have some kind of a call to action at the end as well. Okay, so let me continue on here. One of my mentors, one of my early mentors, was Michael Port, and I participated in a program with Michael Port. And Michael Port has written a number of books, including the book Book Solid. And in that book, he shared a strategy there. He said, always have an event to invite people to. Always have an event to invite people to. And that means that if you're going to do event marketing, then make sure that you always have something coming up. Always have something coming up that you can invite people to. And I've adopted that strategy in my business. I've started off this year actually probably having fewer events than I've had lately. Last year, I had over 100 free events over the course of the year, which is almost about two per week. And I've actually cut back a little bit on it, but I'm getting ready to ramp up as we head into the month of February. So I'm going to be getting some things scheduled here. I'm starting to send out some email messages to invite people out to events. So I'd encourage you to keep an eye out for upcoming events that I'm doing. And I'm also going to be experimenting, too, with some different styles of events. I might do a longer event, like a free three-hour event. I might do some free three-session webinars for free as well. And so I'm looking for different strategies to implement, different ways to create value, different ways to lead people to a next step in working with me. And I would encourage you to do the same thing, too. I would experiment with different types of presentations that you can do and see what works best for you and for your audience. There are pros and cons to each type of event. So why host events? Well, number one, it's a great way to add value. I found that when it comes to creating value for people, where I'm sharing ideas, strategies, techniques that they can implement, that events are a great way to accomplish it. I can accomplish a lot by doing events. I can share a lot of great information. I can lead people to a next step in working with me. And that's the second piece there is it gives you an opportunity to invite people to a next step. So think about what you can do that will lead people into relationship with you, lead people to purchase a product, a program, or a service. And when you do a presentation, by the way, think about what topic you can talk about that will naturally lead them to a next step in working with you. So what is that next step going to be? How are you going to lead them to that? Is your topic that you're talking about in your presentation going to tie in naturally to your offer? You want to have a good connection between the two of those. I think another reason to host an event is that in today's age, event marketing is a great way to create more visibility through social media. Social media creates sharing. You can set up, for instance, a Facebook event, and you can invite people to that event, and then they can click and they can share that event with other people. So this can be a great way for you to be able to reach other people, is tapping into other people's networks. And, of course, you can even share it through email and then encourage people to forward that email on as well, and that can create viral marketing. In fact, I had the opportunity to first attend an event with Eric Lofholm back in 2007. And I had actually heard of him through one other person the prior year. And then in 2000, one of my contacts forwarded an email for an event that he was doing in my area. And that prompted me to then register for the event, which was a free event, and then attend the event, and then participate in the event. And at that event, I signed up for one of his programs. So that email came to me virally. I wasn't on his list. I didn't get the email from him directly. It came through someone else. And that caused me then to register for the event. So, by the way, live event marketing is another component to what you can do. In addition to teleseminars, webinars, and Google Hangouts, you can also host live events like seminars and workshops and other events. That's one of the things I plan to do more of this year is live events. I'm planning out and trying to decide what events that I want to do, and then I'll be doing some promotion to invite people to attend the events. Now, let's talk about the order and sequence of developing events. When it comes to setting up events, you want to think about what can you do that's going to allow you to plan out your event. So what is your topic? What are you talking about? And what is the next step that people are going to take? In fact, let's. I want to do a quick exercise here. What I'd like you to do is I want you to go out into the Facebook group, and I want you to post a message, and I want you to let me know, would you like to host an event this year? Would you like to host an event this year? Go out and post a message and let me know, if you've given some thought to it, what type of event would you like to host? Let's go ahead and take about 1 minute and then go out and post it out in the Facebook group now. Okay, let me pop out there real quick. I can see a couple folks posting. So again, would you like to host an event this year in 2015? And if so, go ahead and share it out there. Tom says, I would like to host either a teleseminar or a webinar. Alan says, I would like to host a webinar. Awesome. Roy said, I don't plan to host an event of my own, but I will probably do a few guest calls. Roy, for you, when you say guest call, is that where you're going to be interviewed by somebody else on a call, or where you plan to interview somebody else on a call? Please share out there and clarify that. All right, let me continue on in our notes. And by the way, you can follow along in the notes for today's call. Just check your email for a copy of the notes. So let's talk about the different types of technology tools that are involved in hosting events. So with a teleseminar, a webinar, or a Google Hangout, there are different technologies that are required to make that happen. Today's call is a teleseminar. It's a conference call hosted through a Bridgeline. There are different Bridgeline services that you can use. Some of them are free. Some of them do cost some money. So you might want to check around and explore different options. And with a Bridgeline, you may also have an online dashboard where you can go in and access certain information. That's one of the things I like about the Bridgeline that I use right now, is that it brings up a phone number for everybody on the call, and then I also have a place where I can type in the person's name as well, so I can see exactly who's on a call. I'm also experimenting with another service right now, and I don't have the capability to edit names, so in some cases the phone numbers come over with a name, and in other cases they don't. It might say something like wireless caller. And so unless I have another list that I can reference, I don't know who that is on the call. And I find it helpful to know who's on a call, because then I can reach out and I can acknowledge them. I can encourage them to join me out in the Facebook group, so I can help to create more engagement based on who is participating on the call. Now, for webinars, there are different webinar technology tools. You may have heard of WebEx. That's used by a lot of corporations. One that's used a lot by small businesses is GoToWebinar, which is the service that I use. There's also ASAP. There's AnyMeeting, which has a free version of it and also a paid version. And there's also Join.me, join.me. Different services have different capabilities. Some of them have a registration component, like a GoToWebinar allows you to provide a link where people can register, and it can also send out reminder emails, which is helpful. Something like AnyMeeting may just have the opportunity to – actually, join.me, I believe you get a link, and so you could send out a link and say, join me on the meeting, and so people can click and then go in and participate. One nice thing about GoToWebinar's registration capabilities is that you can go in and you can take a look to see who participated on your events. And I find that helpful at times to go through and review who participated. It'll show you when people joined in on the webinar and when they left. So that's valuable information to know. So think about the technology tools that you can use. And then as far as Google Hangouts are concerned, Google Hangouts, of course, are hosted by Google. Google owns YouTube, And when you set up a hang up, you can live stream the video through YouTube. And then the hangout is also recorded as a video and published out on YouTube as well. So now with a Google Hangout, you don't have a registration capability unless you get some type of other service. There's a tool that came out last year, called Webinar Jam that some people are using. And Webinar Jam gives you the capability of creating a registration component for your Google Hangouts. I haven't experimented with that, but I know some people who have, and they found some benefit for it. There's also, for hosting a Hangout, there's also a need to have some additional tools to tie in with the Hangout, which will also help to provide what's called the lower third. The lower third, and that is additional information that will show up on the screen where it'll have your name and your title, so that when people are watching the video, not only do they see a picture of you, but they'll also see your name there as well. Now, for those tools, you need to, from what I understand, use a computer versus something like a tablet. I did an interview recently on a Google Hangout, and I used my tablet as a way of doing video. So there are different capabilities in terms of what you can do. You can experiment with the different technology tools and see what works best. And by the way, for the Google Hangouts, you can do a small Google Hangout with up to 10 people, and then you can do what's called a Google Hangout on Air, or HOA. And the Google Hangout on Air is the one that will get live streamed over YouTube. So those are two different things, so you have to distinguish between those when you set it up. All right, let's talk about how to plan a webinar. So what are the steps to plan a webinar and to execute on it? And this could be true also for teleseminars and also for Google Hangouts. So first of all, determine what your outcomes are. What are you trying to accomplish? So when I do events, one of the things I'm trying to accomplish is just simply to add value. So there's a value in sharing information. There's a value in educating people. There's a value in positioning yourself as an expert. And if you do that, then it creates the opportunity for people to have a positive experience with you. And, you know, if people attend a presentation, it's almost like they've had a chance to sit down and talk with you. And I've had people where I've had conversations, and we're meeting for the first time, but they've had a chance to attend a number of my presentations before. And for them, it's like we already know each other. So that can be very powerful, is that when you have that type of contact and people attend a presentation, they get to know you. And by the way, one of the ways they get to know you is that on your webinars, on your events, you should tell some personal stories. Personal stories get people connected to you personally. Another aspect of your webinar would be to identify your offer. So begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. Think about what it is that you want to accomplish in your event. And if you know what kind of offer that you want to make, then that will help you to plan out what the content should be. Next, select a topic. So after you know what your offer is, then go ahead and select a topic. Figure out what it is that you want to talk about. And then create a compelling title. So the topic is the overall area of interest, what it is that you're going to share. And then the title is what you would use to promote that specific event. And you can create short titles or you can create long titles. Sometimes I've seen people use a title that was 15 to 20 words. Other times it might be as short as 5 words. The next step is to create an outline. Whenever you're creating a presentation, make an outline to determine what it is that you're going to share. And a simple formula that you can use is to share 3 main ideas in your presentation. 3 main ideas. Now, you might take each one of those ideas and drill them down to a deeper level to figure out what you're going to share, but you might have 3 main topics that you talk about in your presentation. Then create a script. Now, a script can be very useful if you're hosting a teleseminar, and you could just refer to that script as you're going through your content. If you're doing a webinar, then you're going to be working with a set of PowerPoint slides. It makes it a little bit more difficult to work from a script. Now, of course, you can create a script, and then you can memorize the script. And my mentor, Eric Laufholm, says that the big script is just a series of mini scripts. The big script is a series of mini scripts. So you take the bigger script and you break it down into smaller components. And so it's a lot easier to memorize a short script like your personal story. And then once you've memorized that, then you can use that in a number of different presentations. Or you can have other chunks of content that you learn, and then you can share them separately. So think about how to organize your content and information into a series of smaller scripts, and then you can memorize those and then utilize those in presentations. Another component if you're planning a webinar is to create a set of PowerPoint slides. Now, one of the things I often recommend to people starting off is to do a teleseminar first and then do a webinar and then do a Google Hangout after that. So a teleseminar is much simpler. You only need a phone to be able to use it. It's easier for your audience, and there are fewer things that you have to worry about. So it's also faster to create a teleseminar script, and then you can take that teleseminar setup and create a set of PowerPoint slides and then create your webinar, and ultimately you could turn that into a Google Hangout. Then go ahead and schedule the event using your webinar software. Once you reach a point that you're confident that you can proceed forward, then go ahead and schedule the event with the webinar software. Now, keep in mind, if you do get software to host webinars, that there's an ongoing fee for that. I pay $99 a month for GoToWebinar. So it behooves me to make sure that every single month I'm doing a lot of webinars because I want to get my money's worth. I don't want to have a month that I don't have any webinars and I have $99 that I'm paying. So, and by the way, when it comes to technology, think about your utilization. Think about your utilization. How are you utilizing your software? How are you making use of it? Are you getting a return on investment from the amount that you're paying? So think about all the different technology tools that you're paying for online, and then think of a strategy to use each one of those. So that's one of the reasons I host, you know, so many webinars, because I want to make sure I get my money's worth. But it's also an effective use of technology. And then finally, market and promote your webinar. Market and promote your webinar. You want to create an email and send it out. Create a Facebook event and share it. Post it on Twitter. Post it on LinkedIn. Create an online video and post it on YouTube and invite people to your event. Reach out to a joint venture partner and ask them to promote it. There's all sorts of different ways that you can get visibility for your event. You can also pay for advertising. There are different tools that you can use online that will help you to advertise your product. For example, you could use Google AdWords as a way to generate leads and then lead them toward your event. Now, by the way, when it comes to event marketing, one of the things you might want to consider is that there might be a value in doing ongoing presentations. Like, for instance, you could do a monthly webinar. Every month, month in and month out, you could do the same webinar. And that way, if you implement a strategy like paying for ads online to generate leads, and then you're leading people to an event, you always have an event coming up. Some companies do weekly webinars as a way to generate interest. So just because you create a presentation to host it once doesn't mean that's the end. You know, you're only going to reach a certain audience through that. Now, by the way, you can record it and make it available online, but it's been my experience that more people attend live webinars than go back and watch recorded webinars. So I think there's a value in doing your webinars on an ongoing basis. You can also, over time, create multiple webinars and then rotate those webinars so that you don't always have the same event coming up. You could have it on a rotation. All right, let me go ahead and pop out into the Facebook group. I want to see how we're doing on our goal today. Doing a quick refresh here. And I encourage you to share your takeaways, and I also encourage you to share your questions. So do you have any questions that you would like answered on today's sales technology training call? Go ahead and post those in the Facebook group, and then I'll go out there and answer them in a few minutes. And Facebook has decided to become extremely slow. Let me try to refresh again and go out there. All right, I'm going to have to pop back in. It's just the dial is spinning. All right, let me talk about some tips to use teleseminars. So with a teleseminar, first of all, you want to take time to learn how to use a bridge line. And with a bridge line, you really have two different types of controls. You have phone controls, and then you may have a dashboard, which would be a dashboard online where you can go out and access it. It's a good thing to make sure that you know how to use the phone controls. There might be a time that you don't have access to the internet, for instance, if you're traveling. So if you're traveling, you want the capability to be able to make a phone call and then handle the bridge line from the phone. In fact, that's another reason why you should consider using teleseminars. My mentor, Eric Lofholm, often travels, and if he's going to do a presentation while he's traveling, he prefers to do a conference call on a bridge line rather than a webinar. Many times if you're at a hotel, you might have spotty internet access, and if you're trying to run a webinar on a connection that's being shared with hundreds of other people, it might not come across too well. So go for the lowest common denominator, which is a teleseminar, because you only need a phone line for that, and that usually works very well. So that's a great technique to use. Now, sometimes bridge lines don't like use of cell phones, so you might have to check in your particular bridge line to see how that works. You might ask for feedback from people on the call. You might record the call and go back and listen to it later and make sure that the recording is coming across okay if you're using a cell phone. It looks like we're up to 40 comments in the group, so keep them coming. Looks like Alan's sharing a lot of comments, and then Roy is posting and out there as well, and Tom, so great job. And I also encourage Judy and Teresa to join us in the group and share your questions and takeaways there as well. Now, some other tips for using teleseminars is to watch the clock. Watch the clock. You want to make sure that you stay within your allotted time. I am known for doing rather long webinars and teleseminars at times. It's my goal oftentimes to end within an hour, but sometimes I do have them go over. And part of the reason is because I do encourage interaction on the call, so if I cut out the interaction, I'd probably end sooner. But I like to have interaction on my events. So, but it's a good idea to know where you are in your presentation. So make sure that you have a clock handy or a watch or something where you can keep track of time and know where you should be at different points in your presentation. So you might have to slow down or speed up depending on where you are in your presentation. You'll get better over time at learning where you are in your presentation and, you know, how to pick up the pace or how to slow down a little bit as you're going through your content. Many times when people are delivering presentations, they go through the content faster than they anticipate. They either speak more rapidly or they skip over some points. And so if they're trying to do a presentation for an hour, they might end up within, say, 40 minutes. So just keep that in mind. People might be expecting more content, and you might end sooner than you actually thought you were going to. And by the way, stories are a great way to prop up the content and expand out a little bit. So make sure that you do build in some stories as you're going through your content. Now, how and when should you use a Google Hangout? Well, one of the reasons to go do a Google Hangout is you might get invited as a guest to be on a Google Hangout. One of the components of a Google Hangout is to create interaction through video. And so people can host a Google Hangout, and they can have multiple guests on the Google Hangout, and they can kind of switch back and forth between each one who's talking. So there is a component of having like an online panel through a Google Hangout. So that can be a valuable strategy. And it's kind of the latest and greatest thing. So people are excited about Google Hangouts, and they want to jump into them. And by the way, you can also be a participant in a Google Hangout, just joining in and create interaction by participating in the conversation online. Google, of course, uses Google Plus as a communication tool. So as you're on a Google Hangout, you might be posting messages, and that might be shared over on Google Plus. Now, one nice thing about a Google Hangout is that you can set up an event through Google Plus for your Google Hangout, and then you can share that And that message will actually be sent out to people through email, and it can even appear on somebody's calendar. That's a pretty cool thing. If somebody's using the Google Calendar, then your event might pop directly onto their calendar, and then they can choose whether they want to leave it on there or remove it. Now, how do you get other people to share your events? Well, first of all, it's not just enough to post your event out there once on Facebook and just expect people are going to, sign up for it. You may want to have an ongoing strategy, and if you have enough time between the time that you first announce it, like if you allow 30 days or 60 days, you might have enough time to be able to share your event, invite people to it, and use that as an opportunity to create more visibility. Of course, Facebook events are a great way to do this, and you can create a Facebook event, and then you can click and invite your friends to an event. And then other people can also go in and invite people to your event as well. And you should do the same thing for other people. If somebody's having an event, you might want to consider going in and inviting a few people to the event. You can send email reminders about your events. So schedule an email to go out, and that'll go out through email. And then it will let people know to come and attend the event. And also, you can send a reminder in advance of the event, too, for people who registered. So if you have a registration process, if you know who is attending the event, then you can send out an email to let the people who registered know, remind them that the event is coming up. And this could happen automatically if you have a service that you're using for a webinar that allows you to send email confirmation messages, but you could also send them separately as well. Okay, we're at the bottom of the hour now, so I'm going to go ahead and pop out into the Facebook page and read some of the comments out there. And if you have a question, now would be a great time to post your question within the Facebook group. All right, let's see. Alan said, Michael Port was an early mentor of Rick Cooper. Yes. Tom says, Rick, what type of event is giving you the most return, such as new prospects or clients? Well, I'll answer that question in a couple ways. I would say that it's been a combination between teleseminars and webinars. It's tough to say one versus the other. I think there's a value of doing teleseminars in the sense that because there's no visual component, people just have to sit and listen. So it's a lot easier to kind of focus in on the message. With a webinar, you have more of a visual component that goes along with it, so that's great for visual people, but it can also be distracting for people as well. So I would say the most sales that I generated was from a teleseminar. I once had a teleseminar that I did that I generated 42 sales in an hour, and that was just off doing a phone call. Roy said, events give you an opportunity to educate and invite prospects to a next step. Absolutely. Education, I think it was Robert Allen that said everybody's in the education business. So these days, whatever your business is, you are in the education business. So think about what you can do to step into the role of educator and provide value to people. Allen says events are a great way to add value and bring people in. Yes, absolutely. You can create viral marketing. You can invite existing customers, clients to events. They can share events in some cases and invite other people to it. So it creates viral marketing. Alan says, event marketing is a great way to create visibility in social media. Yeah, in fact, one of the things I've noticed with Facebook is if people click to join an event, that event will show up on their page. In fact, let me see if I can do this real quick. I'm going to pop over to Alan's page. Yeah, this event is not showing up on it, probably because it's a private event through a group. But I've noticed with some of the free events that I've done, I've noticed where a message has come up indicating that a person had attended my event. And so that's just another little thing which helps to let people know that about a specific event that happened. Okay, let's see. Going back out here to the Facebook group. Roy said, I was talking about doing a guest presentation, but could also be me being interviewed or doing an interview. Okay, good. So Roy is open to interviewing guests, and he's also open to being a guest on somebody else's interview. Alan said technology requirements for your event.
Yes.
You know, there's usually some type of technology that's involved, unless it's just, you know, straight public speaking where you're going out and speaking at an event, in which case you still might have technology like a PowerPoint presentation, but certainly online it's either going to be a phone, a webinar, or a Google Hangout. Or it could also be live streamed video. That's another technique. When I worked with Laura Langmeyer, she would host online videos or stream online videos through a service called Ustream. In fact, let me see if I can pop out there real quick and find the link for you here. It's ustream.tv. So let me pop out here. I'll just say check out ustream.tv. So the way, and actually there's another one which is called Uvu, O-O-V-O-O, and I'll share that link as well. Check out uvu.com. So both of those are live streaming video or video chat services, so you can check those out and see how that works for you as well. It's a little bit different. It's more similar to like a Google Hangout in the sense that it's video. Alan says, conference call Bridgeline that has a dashboard to see who's on the call. Yes, dashboards are helpful. Oftentimes there's information which shows you who's on the call, or afterwards you might have reports that you can go back and look at to see who joined in. Alan says, there are several webinar services, WebEx, GoToMeeting, Join.me, AnyMeeting, etc. Yes. And Alan says, GoToWebinar will give you info on who was on the webinar and when they left. Yes, absolutely. And by the way, I don't use this feature that often, but actually a couple other features that GoToWebinar has. You can ask questions when people register. You can create a survey for after a webinar, and you can also do polling questions during a webinar. Those are all ways for you to gather information about the people that are participating in the webinar. So those are some things to look at as well. Roy says that HOA stands for a Google Hangout on Air, or a live feed of video. Yes. Alan said steps to plan a webinar. One, determine what your outcomes are. Add value by sharing information. Two, tell some personal stories in your webinar. Three, know what kind of offer you want to make. Four, select a topic and create a compelling title. And five, create an outline of what you're going to share. And six, create a script you can refer to. Seven, Ellen's got all the points here. PowerPoint slides for your webinar. And number eight, schedule your event using webinar software. Very good. Let's see, I skipped over one. Roy said, the better your audience knows you, the more trust that you build. Yeah, that's a good point. In a presentation, one of the values is that it gives people a chance to get connected to you. It gives them a chance to learn from you, but it also gives them a chance to get connected to you personally. People do business with people that they know, like, and trust. People do business with people that they know, like, and trust. And events are a great way to build that know, like, and trust factor. Again, it positions you as an expert, but it also gets people connected to you personally. And again, stories are a great way to accomplish that. Roy says, budget webinar fees into your monthly expenses. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, by the way, you can use a tool like GoToWebinar or GoToMeeting for a period of time, and then you could cancel it, and then you could restart it at some later point. So, for instance, if you wanted to do like a summer webinar series, you might plan a couple of events in, say, June, July, and August. You could plan those. You could promote those. You could set up the service and use it for a couple months, and then you could go ahead and cancel it. And then if you wanted to start up a winter series, you know, like November, December, January, then you could start it back up again. That's a great way to save on costs. So if you're afraid that you're not going to be able to use a service like that every month, you could use it for a period of time. Alan says, market and promote your webinar. Market and promote your webinar. And he says, more people watch live webinars than recorded ones. Yes, there's just something about participating live that causes people to watch. and stay watching. I think part of it is because with a recorded webinar, people have the opportunity to pause it. They have an opportunity to, rewind or fast forward. And so when you give people control of that, it causes them not to have the same level of commitment to stay on and watch the content. So for people who want to do recorded webinars, it takes some of the power away from it. By the way, there are tools for automated webinars, which are more similar to a live webinar, but it's a recorded webinar. And so you create a webinar, you record it, or create a video and record it, and then you can set it up in an automated webinar, and people are invited to the event as if it were live. It plays as if it were live. People, you know, can't pause or fast forward. For them, the experience is as if it were happening live. Alan says, tips for teleseminars, get familiar with the controls on the bridge line. Absolutely. Have a printout with your controls. And so, because, you know, if you're on your phone and your instructions are on your phone, you're probably not going to be able to see it while you're on there. You want to be able to have it in front of you on paper where you can just click on the proper buttons. You want to learn how to mute out a call line, how to mute, unmute. Some services use a rotation between bridge line open, Q&A mode, where people have the opportunity to, people are muted, but they can unmute themselves. And then the third option is for what's called lecture mode, where everybody's phones are locked and they aren't able to unmute themselves. Alan says, teleseminars are easier to do via your phone when you're traveling. Yes, they're easier to do and less likely to have a risk with the technology where you're not able to get a webinar to work and then you have a missed opportunity. Alan says, check and test your bridge line for cell phone compatibility. Yes, most cell phones will work with bridge lines, but sometimes it might result in a choppy connection or robot voice. So you don't want that to happen. So you want to know if that's going to work for you or not. And it's something that's going to be unique for your bridge line and for your phone. So you have to test it out and see how that's going to work. So you can ask somebody else to be on the call. You could record a call and listen to it and just see overall what results that you get. You want to try it both live feedback and also recording to see what it sounds like. Alan says, watch the clock to stay on time for your teleseminar. Yes. You want to make sure that you're not going too long and make sure that you're not going too short either. You want to have that Goldilocks amount where it's just right. Alan says, stories are a great way to liven up content. Yes, you don't want to just hand out a series of facts. You want to have some stories that you can interject in there. One of the stories that I tell is my personal story. And so I have a story that I share on all of my teleseminars and webinars, and I've memorized that story, and it's a good idea for you to script out and to memorize your personal story as well. And you can have other stories that you share beyond that also. I first started doing teleseminars, in fact, back in, I think all the way back to 2003, when I first started my business. I learned about teleseminars, and I started joining some teleseminars, and I thought, well, let me see how I can learn this strategy and begin to use it in my own business. And it took me a while to master the technology. It's kind of one of those things like walking and chewing gum. You have to learn how to do it at the same time. You have to learn how to be present on a call. You have to learn how to deal with technology issues. Sometimes there are problems that happen. You might have a problem trying to get onto the bridge line. You might have a problem trying to get the phone muted. There are a number of different things. You might be trying to create interaction with people on social media. And so in addition to just managing the bridge line, you also have to keep an eye out and monitor your social media channel as well. Alan says, Google Hangouts are the latest big thing. Yeah, and with the power of Google, there are a lot of people that are tied in with that, and so it gets people excited, and people are excited just because, you know, how huge of a network and influence that that Google has, and they want to be part of that. I just popped out to the dashboard and see that Lori Whaley is on the call with us today, so thanks for joining in, Lori. All right, going back to our comments here. And by the way, if you have any questions, feel free to post them in the Facebook group. I'm just going through and reading them one by one, reading the comments and the takeaways. So again, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them out there. Roy says, be proactive about getting others to share your events. Yes, it's a good idea to develop joint venture partner relationships and then reach out to people periodically and ask them to share your events. Alan says, how do you get other people to share your events? You need an ongoing strategy to promote it. Right. Sometimes it's through reciprocation, doing the same thing for other people. Sometimes it's just asking them to help out. In fact, you could send somebody, for instance, a Facebook message and let them know you have an upcoming event and ask if they could share the event. And, you know, some people don't know how to share events, so it's actually pretty easy. You just go out to an event. In fact, let me see if I can find an event here to share. I'm going to go to my social media outcomes page. Okay, heading over there now. And let me see what events I have. I don't think I have any events coming up right now, but I believe it will be off of the invite button. You have to click the invite button, and then it brings up an option for you to go in and select people for the event. And then you would click to submit, and then that would go out to people as an invitation. Alan says, you can create a Facebook event and invite people to it. Yeah, good point. And one tip there, there are three different types of Facebook events that you can create. You can go on the home page of Facebook and click on events and create an event there. That event will be associated with your personal account. You can go to your Facebook page, your business Facebook page, and you could create an event there. Now, make sure that you have the event app installed. If you don't know how to do that, it's a pretty simple process to go in and find the apps in there and then add events. And then you can move your menu around so that the events are visible. You only have about five options that show up on your business Facebook page. And so make sure that events is one of those if you plan on doing them. And then people can click on the events tab and then go to an event. And so any event that you create through your business page will be associated with that business page. And then the third type of event is that you can create an event in a Facebook group. And this is something that I've been doing for a while. So, for instance, each week you should be getting an invitation to a Facebook event. So I know for people who might not see my email message, they might see the Facebook invitation to an event. And that event would then be associated with the group, and it would also be limited to the members of that group. So that's one nice thing is that I can set up an event through this Facebook group and then just invite members of the program who are in the group to that event. Alan says, remind people by email that they signed up for the event. Yes, don't assume that people are going to just remember that your event is happening. You have to remind them. So many people will just go out and they will be invited, you know, they'll register for an event, but they might not mark it in their calendar. So your webinar service might have an email that goes out automatically. It's a good idea to go through and review any kind of reminder emails that are scheduled to go out. For instance, if you go into GoToWebinar and you clone an event or duplicate it, sometimes it will carry over some of the old information into the confirmation email. So I go into each message that is planned to be sent out, and I will make any edits necessary to make sure that it is correct for the current event, not for the event that I copied. Alan says, teleseminars let people focus on just the audio. Yes. You know, there's something powerful about just listening to an audio. And by the way, if you're doing teleseminars, just listening to an audio from a teleseminar tends to be better than listening to an audio from a webinar. Because oftentimes on a webinar, you might be referring to something on the screen. With a teleseminar, it's just more similar to an audio. So if they listen to the recording of it, they're just going to get the kind of the raw information, which is good. So by the way, if you plan on doing a webinar, do it as a teleseminar first and then record it and make that recording also available to your folks as well. Tom says, Rick, Eric Laufholm talks about pre-framing. What is your technique on that? Yes, I use pre-framing in my presentations. That's part of the formula that I use for my presentations, which I also learned from Eric. And that format, if you want to jot it down in your notes, is intro, outcomes, chunk one, chunk two, chunk three, call to action. I'll go ahead and repeat that again. It's intro, outcomes, chunk one, chunk two, chunk three, call to action. So the three chunks refer back to what I mentioned earlier about having three main ideas that you share during your presentation. Outcomes refers to the pre-framing. During the outcomes, I do two things. One is I let them know what they're going to learn on the presentation. I might say something like, I have two outcomes for the presentation today. My first outcome is to share a lot of great ideas on social media marketing. My second outcome is to extend an invitation to participate in an upcoming training and mentoring program. And I'll share all the details at the end of the webinar. So that is pre-framing. I'm letting them know up front what's going to happen during the webinar. And it also lets them know the timing and the sequence. I'm letting them know that I'm going to be sharing the offer at the end of the webinar, not at the beginning or during the middle. And that's important. People want to feel like they're going to get a lot of value before you make an offer. It's okay if you make an offer, but by pre-framing it in advance, it just confirms when that's going to happen. Lori says, thank you. I joined in late and need to listen later. No problem. The recording will be available online, so you can access that. Roy says, use teleseminars to rehearse webinars and create recorded content. I also see a message from Judy over on the event page saying she's looking for everyone's comments. The comments are over on the pinned post, so let me grab the link for that, Judy, and then I will share it over in the event. So, hi, Judy. Go here. Then I'm going to include the link, and then you can click on that. And she says, hi, everyone. Thanks for being here, Judy. So I just included the link. You can click on that link there in the post that I put, and that will take you directly out to the pinned post where you can get access to the rest of the comments. Roy said, teleseminar webinar format, intro, outcomes, chunk one, chunk two, chunk three, call to action. Yes, it's a great format, easy to follow, easy to create a presentation. And most every presentation that I create follows that format. All right, we've got a couple more minutes before the top of the hour here. So if you want to post any other questions or comments in the group, go ahead and do that now. And I'll pop out there in just a moment. All right, checking in here in just a second. All right, looks like we've covered all the topics for the call today. Oh, looks like Alan's popping a comment in here. Hang on just a second. Alan says, what is a free webinar service to get started with or practice on? You can try out anymeeting.com. The thing about anymeeting is they have a free version, but it comes with ads. So, like, while you're talking on your webinar, people will be seeing an ad on the, like, on the sidebar or on the top of the screen, like a little banner ad will appear at the top. But if you're concerned about cost and just experimenting, you can try that out. It's free. The ad-supported version is free. So it's a great one to experiment with. And let me post a message here. Oops, Alan already jumped the gun and got and posted the link already. So good job. All right. And they do have other versions. So I'm seeing on here Pro 25. It says $18 per month. Up to full featured, no ads, up to 25 attendees. And they have Pro 200, $78 per month, full featured, no ads, up to 200 attendees. And they also have company plans for more people beyond that. All right. Looks like we've covered all the messages, so let's go ahead and wrap up for today. First of all, I want to thank you for being on the call today. I want to encourage you to think about what sales technology tools that you can implement in your business. And you might think in particular about doing a presentation, whether it's a webinar, a teleseminar, or a Google Hangout, plan an event that you can do. And you might even think about doing it in the order that I suggested. Like if you have an idea, why not plan a teleseminar first? Try it as a teleseminar. And then work on it, do it a couple times, and then you can turn around and turn it into a webinar. PowerPoint slides take a while to create. So if you do a teleseminar, if you create the script, you know, that's a couple hours work. If you want to then turn it into a webinar, you've got it probably in about another 3 hours of creating a PowerPoint slide presentation. Then if you want to do a Google Hangout, then you pretty much have everything that you need, but you might need additional tools for that, like Webinar Jam or something else like that you might need to handle the registration piece. So you can build over time, moving from teleseminars into webinars into Google Hangouts. So think about what you can do that will help you to get into action and doing event marketing. And let me know if you have any upcoming events. When you have an event that's scheduled, send me an email or send me a private message on Facebook, or even go ahead and post it in this group and let other people know that you are planning an event. And feel free to share the registration page in there as well. All right, Alan says, thanks, Rick. Lori says, thank you, Rick Cooper. So thanks, everyone, for being on the call today. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. Have a great week, and God bless.